if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 400. This is our 2026 RBC Canadian Open Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss this week's PGA Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit gambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website, where we have an in-depth betting preview for this week's RBC Canadian Open. Paul has been in the stats lab pulling together this week's data. We have detailed Canadian event form, player form and compi sheets, plus new and old predictor models for the PGA Tour action this week. All of our content is available completely free of charge. There is no paywall or registration required on X. You can follow Barry at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. On Blue Sky, search for Steve Bamford and Paul Williams. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where this podcast is available each and every week. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. This one's a cracker. Entitled, Post-it Note of Boom. 5 stars. Let me set the scene. It's Wednesday morning in Sydney. The harbour is doing its thing, and I'm driving to my office. Before I've even had a chance to check my news feeds, this podcast is already downloading. But first, we need to talk about the mic level, Steve. My wife graciously joins me for the city commute only on a Wednesday, and roughly every second episode, she nearly launches herself out of a moving vehicle when your bellowing voice hits the speakers. She is a patient woman and tolerant of my golf obsession. But for the sake of my marriage, please invest in a limiter. Oh dear, this is cracking. Anyway, your best in the business analysis has become the absolute backbone for me and my son Joseph's weekly father-son golf punting strategy meeting. We won't touch a market without listening first. The breakdowns and banter are genuinely exceptional. Course fit, form trends, strokes gained data explained by experts who clearly live and breathe this stuff. If you're serious about golf betting, this is your home. All the best. And that is from Johnny, aka the Cosmic Badger, in Sydney, Australia. What do you think, chaps?
That's class.
That is brilliant. Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, and thanks for taking the time to write such an eloquent and enjoyable review.
There's no limiter that can contain Bamford's boom, though. Not a chance. that's just part and parcel of what you get.
Note of boom.
A little bit of overexcitement every now and again.
We've made it to 400 episodes. Mm. Happy birthday.
Yeah, congrats, boys.
Pretty good. Pretty good innings.
You can't fake 400, can you? I'm sure I sort of said that at 300, but you can't fake it. Talk me through last week, chaps. What did you think of last week's golf? I'm trying to avoid the name Marcus the Bullet Armitage, but I was getting excited for you, Paul, when he hit the front on Sunday.
Yeah, I was excited from the start.
I said to my missus, Paul's got a real chance this week. His players just hit the joint lead, and she did look at me with those withering eyes, of what's about to come.
Yeah, and then immediately hits the brakes. Sadly, it is another almost weekly tale of woe, isn't it? But look, I threw five holes. He was 200 at that point, wasn't he? Top of the leaderboard and playing nicely. I don't know if you caught his interview from the day before, but he had been really talking up the state of his game and, you know, how he felt he was in the right kind of shape to go and win the tournament, even more so than when he won a few years before. And yeah, hits the front, playing nicely, three putt to number six, and yeah, doesn't look back, or doesn't look forward, I suppose is more appropriate. Eight over from that point at which he hit the lead and didn't even place, which is just galling, isn't it? Even more galling, Eugenio Chakra wins, who I've supported absolutely stacks this year. And yeah, whenever I've backed him, I've just been underwhelmed, particularly with the putter. He just hasn't put it together and, you know, missing all sorts of putts when I'm thinking he's going to get himself in contention, and just kind of stuck on the fringes of it whenever I've been on supporting him. And yeah, you leave him alone for a week and that's it. He goes and bites you on the backside.
Yes. See, Stein Lechner got a place as well, just to really dig the dagger in the side.
Yeah, Stein Lechner in there. Yes, it was a frustrating week. Once again, I've said that an awful lot this year. At some point, the Sundays have got to turn, haven't they? You can't continue to be being battered with bad Sundays. Maybe not.
No. You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Mm.
We need to be more upbeat for our 400th episode, don't we? But it's difficult when you keep getting kicked in the nuts.
Yeah.
You'd have to be some kind of fruit loop.
Yeah, I think you've got to be masochistic to play this game anyway, because you know that it's difficult and there are so many variables at the business end of any tournament, throughout any tournament. But yeah, it's the hope that kills you in the end, isn't it? The players that you've supported and you feel for the right reason get themselves into a truly winning position and, yeah, just go backwards.
Projectile vomit all over the course.
Yep. Sadly.
JT Poston, I didn't have him taking out the Memorial tournament.
No.
I have to be honest.
No, and I think if you look at Andy, who puts together those the aggregates all of the tips on X nowadays, not one person had tipped JT Poston last week. So, yeah, I think that tells you a story of how it went for the punters.
I can kind of see Gerard. I'm just looking at my analysis here. He'd finished 10th at Colonial. The thing that put me off Gerard was that it had all come from the putter. He ranked first for putting at Colonial, and he was 56th for tee to green, which when you're heading to Jack's Place, which is clearly like a US Open type venue, difficulty, everyone's talking about, you know, you need three strokes over tee to green to win it per round, which is, you know, those were the numbers. You're thinking, well, I'm not sure I fancy a bit of that. Poston wasn't, across my 14 sort of variables I look for, he ticked one of the 14 boxes. We're going through one of those stages, actually. I think he's like the third now. Clark, Henley, who I wouldn't back at 14 to one, and now Poston. We've gone from ones where, winners where you kind of, oh, I wish I'd have picked him, to, well, I'm not getting anywhere near that. Mm. Which isn't great, but, you know, like you just said, you know, it's the ups and downs of a golfing season. It's not all a straight line. It's you go through choppy waters. But Poston, yes, his win was, I mean, basically he won that golf, the tournament, or put himself in a position where he was way ahead of the field, or on the basis of that round on Friday where it was gusting 30 miles an hour. The greens were like glass. There were people just walking off the course saying that was the hardest golfing conditions I've ever played in. I mean, I heard Justin Thomas say that. And Poston shot a 65. The next best score was 69. So four shots clear of an elite signature event field. Poston shot four shots better than anyone else, which was Bridgman, Burns, Eric Cole, Ryan Gerrard, Matt McCarty.
Yeah, good game.
Unbelievable round, eh?
Mm.
So fair play to him. And to be fair, he showed balls, didn't he, on Sunday? He went on the Marcus Armitage bogey train and then he turned it round and got back to a playoff with Gerrard.
Yeah. Early doors, you'd say he'd won it and then lost it. And then, as you say, got into the playoff with a birdie at the last and won it from there. So, yes, I don't mean you can knock the guile, I guess, to go through and actually win that on a tough course and Muirfield Village, which is a track that asks a hell of a lot of questions. And, he's going to produce a good winner fair play to him.
That was JT's fourth win on the PGA Tour. He's won at Sedgefield. He's won the John Deere Classic. He won in Vegas. I think that was the last time they played there. 24 TPC Summerlin. And now he's taken out what has to be, by a mile, his biggest ever win, the Memorial Tournament. Jack Nicklaus didn't look overly energised that JT Poston had won it. It was like, oh, you're wasting my time here. It's two blokes I've never heard of in the playoff. So, he's now the Memorial Tournament winner. That's his fourth PGA Tour win. Three of those have been on bent grass greens. Interesting, really. All of his wins seem to be late in the season as well, or later. Which does suggest that he does like a bent grass golf course. And you do see this a lot, don't you? Different kinds of winners winning at different times of the year based on the agronomy.
Yeah. So what, Sedgefield was the outlier then, I guess?
That was the outlier. That was his first win. That's clearly, I think it's Champion Bermuda.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
But a short, tight, tree-lined par 70.
Hmm. Yeah. No, it was just his week, wasn't it? At one point, I thought Fleetwood was going to come through and win that, and he had his chance. Nice round from Alex Fitzpatrick in the end to get a little bit of place money for me, but he was never really in the hunt to win it. Wasn't close enough, so take what you can get, I guess.
No, I had JJ Spawn. I thought he'd get me a place, and then I think he lost 3.5 strokes on the greens on Sunday, which is never ideal. Mm.
Yeah, it doesn't work, does it?
Poston was negative off the tee. He gained 8 strokes across the week cumulatively with his approach play. 1.182 around the greens, which was 7.58 tee to green, 6.87 strokes gained with the putter, which was a 53-47 tee to green to putter split for Muirfield Village, which is not atypical. That does kind of relate to Hovland. He did it that way in 23. He gained 54 tee to green and 46 with the putter that week.
Mm.
So that's two of the last five wins that have been kind of putting festivals, and the other three have been hardcore tee to green events. So the other four, rather. That just shows you the kind of mix that you can get at Muirfield Village. We'll part that one. We'll come back to that in a year's time. Let's talk this week. Let's talk also, if you're listening to this on YouTube, I'm literally on our management panel right now. And I'm looking at the analytics and it tells me that 5,194 of you have subscribed. So that leaves us 6 subscribers short of 5,200. So if you are on YouTube listening to this week's podcast, please press that subscribe button. Get through that 5,200 barrier. Also, on the 5-star reviews, if you could write one that was as good as Johnny, the AKA the Cosmic Badger, that'd be fantastic. But yes, more reviews, please, because we're coming into this very busy point. We've got the US Open Research Podcast. We've got US Open. We've got travellers. We've got lots of golf coming up. So write us a five-star review. You are very, very likely to be read out on one of our busiest pods of the year. Right, RBC Canadian Open. I suppose now it's kind of traditionally placed the week before the US Open. Have either of you got a list of who qualified for the US Open yesterday? Because I completely and utterly blanked it. I have no idea.
I'm on it.
You're on it. Excellent.
Look, I'm probably not the best person to be doing it, seeing as my voice is goosed, but we'll get there.
What have you been up to, Barry? Have you been celebrating pre-400 podcast recording? Or?
Yeah, that was it. We're just doing some quality assurance of the Guinness in Belmullet, both in Cairn Golf Club and the local bar, McDonald's. I can confirm it's very good.
Excellent.
Yeah. And you have to do rigorous testing of these things, Barry.
It's extremely comprehensive.
I can't believe at 53 years of age, as a man that does like a pint, I've never been to Ireland and I've never had an Irish poured Guinness.
Oh, Barry.
It's shocking, isn't it?
That's it, folks. You should just stop listening to the podcast. How can you respect that man at all?
I've had plenty of pints of Guinness in the UK, but not in Ireland itself. We're playing TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley. We're playing the North Course. It's a Doug Carrick original. It's not an old course, designed originally and built for 2001. It had an Ian Andrew renovation. He does a lot of these Canadian Open host courses. Clearly it is a national open, so quite a varied field this week with lots of different qualifiers. That renovation took place in 2023. We saw this course last year. I believe that TPC Toronto, TPC of course being part of the PGA Tour, has been given this tournament for 25, 26 and next year as well. So we have a little bit of continuity because this course, or this Open as many do, clearly does have a rota. So we've seen many, many courses over the years. But this was the one they played last year. And I wouldn't say it's your typical Canadian Open venue. 7,389 yards. I classify it as a medium length golf course. It's a par 70. So that's pretty stretching. What we saw last year, very wide fairways here. 35 to 37 yards wide at 300 yards carry. Now, for comparison, last week at Muirfield Village, they were 24 yards wide. So 13 yards wider. On top of that, the greens this week, in terms of the agronomy, they feature bent grass mixed with poana. Our old friend Poana's back, chaps. They're also larger than last week. 6,500 square feet on average. So bigger greens, a shorter golf course, poana in the greens. In terms of the actual agronomy for the rest of the course, the fairways are bent grass with poana. The rough is Kentucky bluegrass with tall fescue. They cut it to 3.75 inches. Fox won here last year, Ryan. 18 under par. Now, I must say, there was quite a lot of rain involved and the conditions were pretty soft last year. I kind of see the same setup this year. They're saying that there's a 80% chance of rain tonight into Wednesday, tournament Wednesday. So that course is going to get a dousing. There's also less than 50% chances of rain Thursday, Friday. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get a squally shower. No chance of thunder. The interesting thing from a meteorologist, I can never say that, from a weather perspective, this week is plenty of wind. So, gusting 20 miles an hour plus Thursday. The same on Friday. And Saturday, if this Windfinder forecast is correct, and they tend to be pretty accurate, I have to say, that's why I use them. And also, this has been the same now for the last 3 days that I've been looking. Saturday, gusting up to 35 miles an hour for the leaders in the afternoon. It's gusting in the morning, but I must say, not as strong. So you might find a couple jump up the leaderboard on moving Saturday.
Yeah. Let's just hope they leave the tea times as they are and don't try and circumvent it by...
They wouldn't do that about the PJ Tour, Paul, surely.
Hmm.
They wouldn't try and cram them all into a half an hour start, sugar.
Hmm.
Now... we did see wind on one of the rounds last year. Now, I'm just going to read you through. On, they played here last year. Del Solar. Yep, I don't remember him on the PGA Tour, but he did, clearly did exist. And Thorbjørn Olsen, both shot 61s on Thursday. 9 under par. This is a par 70. Andrew Putnam shot a 62 in round two. And then the windy day was the Saturday. It was gusting over 25 miles an hour from the northwest, which is the kind of similar wind direction that we're going to see this week. Lee Hodges, Alex Smalley and Kevin Yu, that's Kevin Yu, shot 63s. Sunday, Sam Burns came from nowhere, shot 62, finished second in the tournament. So I don't know. What I'm suggesting here is, even though it's going to be gusting and hot, I don't see this being a technical scoring kind of... It's a TPC golf course. It's for rich Canadians that live on the outskirts of Toronto. I could still see this being a sort of 15, 16 under par winner.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to be a 7 under par... like mini US Open.
No, and I don't think the course is... I don't think the objective of the course is that. And like they're playing it as a 70, a long 70. A couple, well, there's two or three really quite lengthy par fours in there as well. Mm. If they called it a 72 and some of these 5'10", 5'20", 5'30 par fours were actually called par fives, then last year Ryan Fox would have shot 26 under rather than 18 under, and we'd be classing it as a birdie fest because you've got players going out there shooting 61, 62, 63 on that same setup, regardless of what you call the par. Yeah. So I think with a little bit of wind, it might bring the winning total down a little bit. But yeah, it's, you know, even Ryan Fox alluded to it last year that it is significantly easier than playing the likes of a Memorial. And, you know, he talked a lot about the... because I was on Fox last year, so that was...
You were.
And that was quite a nice... Well, it was a very nice week, in fact. But, yeah, he talked about using driver an awful lot last year. And I think that's the point. It's not one of these where you can fiddle about with different clubs and kind of plot your way around. You got to take the big stick out, hit the fairway, and then see where you go from there.
Well, here's the top of the leaderboard last year. Now, and of course, we've only seen it for one set, one renewal. So, you know, things do change. But Ryan Fox, Sam Burns, Kevin Yu. I mean, there's three big drivers straight off. Matt McCarty, fair enough. Not overly long, but not short. Cam Young was in the paying places. Ben Arne. And then you had two that you'd categorise as short but exceptional around the green and approach players, Matteo Manassero, who I believe was the 54-hole joint leader, and Andrew Putnam. So there is a place for shorter hitters, as long as they can do the rest of the game hybrids nicely. But there's a lot of power on that leaderboard.
Yeah.
Cam Young, believe it or not, Cam Young, 12 months ago for this, finished in the places. 75-1.
Wow.
It's amazing how golf changes within 12 months, isn't it?
Yeah, a year down the line, and if he was here this week, he'd be favourite.
Sam Burns was 33-1. You never really get value on Sam Burns, and you're certainly not getting any value on him this week at 14s.
Mm.
Right, looking at the winners of the Canadian Open. So 18 under for Fox last year on this course. Robert McIntyre, 16s. Nick Taylor, 17s. 2022, Rory McIlroy was 19s. These are different setups, different courses, but you're getting the gist. Then we went into a period pre-COVID. 22 for McIlroy. DJ, 23 under par. Johnny Vegas, 21 under. Johnny Vegas, in 2016, 12 under par. Wow, must have been windy. So, yes, I think mid-teens, 16, 17 under par. That's where I'm kind of edging my bets. The other point I'm going to bring out here is just winning prices. Now, this is factual. Snedeker in 13 was 14-1. Jason Day, 9-1 favourite. DJ, 7-1 favourite. Now, that's when they used to play it the week after the Open Championship, I believe. Then they brought it into the midpoint. Mm. Rory McIlroy, 10-1, both of his wins. So you're getting 9-1, 10-1, 10-1, 7-1, and 14-1 winners there. They were all in the world's top 10 when they won. And then I cannot see, in modern history, anyone between 14-1 and 50-1 winning the Canadian Open. Scott Piercy was 50-1, and then we've had 66s, 66, 80-1, 80-1 Ryan Fox last year. Sean O'Hare, 100-1. Robert McIntyre was 100-1 in 2 years ago. Vegas, 125-1, both times he won. So I've kind of gone for that narrative that I've pitched my wagon to a top 10 in the world player at a shorter price. And then I'm going a bit deeper from 45-1 and out for my other four selections, all of whom can hit the ball quite a long way. So that's the kind of wagon I've coupled myself to this week. Paul, I'm clearly letting Barry work through his selections. Where are you going to be pitching in at, Paul, just to make me aware?
I have a 20-1. And one around the 28 mark now, 80 and 150 are my four.
Right, you go first with 20-1. I'll then chip in with my 25-1 and we'll work it that way. And then we'll have a chat with Barry, see where he's got to.
Yeah, so I couldn't, and I do half fancy him for next week for the US Open, but I couldn't leave Wyndham Clark out of my team this week. Try as I may, I took 20-1 with Ladbrokes with 10 places, which I thought was more than fair given the way that he's been playing of late. Aggressive off the tee, as we know, putting very nicely at the moment, which we saw in full effect when he won the Byron Nelson a few weeks back. And we've seen him win in quick succession in the past. Back in 2023, he won the Wells Fargo back in May, and then, of course, the US Open in June. And there's all the narrative at the time about how he'd kind of stepped up his game with the help of a sports psychologist and got him into the mindset of winning and being able to win. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's more of the same happening right now, because his game seems to have taken a massive step forward in recent times. As I say, won the Byron a few weeks back, third last week at Memorial. So he doesn't seem to have taken his foot off the gas yet. And the long game numbers that came out from last week were just eye-catching in the extreme for me. Mm. First for strokes gained approach, first for strokes gained tee to green. I mean, Wyndham Clark, for a player that can be so aggressive from off the tee, that is real, really strong statistics. Made the cut last year when in pretty poor form, completely different in terms of the way or the state of his game right now. Different prospect, I think, this year. So, yeah, I couldn't not back Wyndham Clark, even though I've kind of got him in mind for next week. And I know that if he does win this week, that is going to decimate his price. So I think I may just have to go and put an anti-post bet on him for the US Open as well, just in case.
This was exactly my point. Are you telling us that what we need to be doing right now, or as this recording ends, is get our phones out and start backing Wyndham Clark this week for the US Open next week after he's destroyed his price?
Well, if you have him vaguely in mind for next week, which, you know, as a previous US Open champion who's coming into this with some form and the right kind of, I've used the word guile already, but I think that's the most appropriate word for this. that the right kind of approach. Barry's
We were talking about it off mic. It's a little bit more colourful than that, but he kind of reminds me of just the gritty levels of Harrington, I guess. Just determination. I don't think it's any secret he's not everybody's favourite person, but as a golfer, yeah, he's got a bit of Patrick Reed about him, maybe.
Yeah,
That like doggedness.
Mm. Yeah. It's great correlation, Barry. Great correlation. Yeah, he's kind of with Reed away from the PGA Tour, he's kind of stepped into that. He's filled that spot in the ecosystem, hasn't he?
Mm. Mm.
Food for thought. But yeah, I think I'm going to have to do that because I'll just be ruining the fact that he's sitting there at, 50s or thereabouts for next week right now. And if he wins or goes very close this week, his price is going to have a knife taken to it.
I know this won't come into his thinking whatsoever, but Wyndham Clark is not even in the top 15 for qualification for the President's Cup for Team USA.
Mm.
He's got a lot of winning still to do, isn't he? For a man of his undoubted qualities, a major champion. So he's always been one of these. Once he's on a roll, he's on a roll.
Yeah.
So I can see your thinking. Does he win the Byron Nelson, the RBC Canadian Open and the US Open in a four tournaments? It happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, and...
And just throw in a third place at Memorial as well into those four tournaments.
Yeah, for a player like him who, when the confidence is flowing and his game is there, and as I just articulated, when his long game is in this kind of shape that it was last week, then I wouldn't put it past him.
Whisper it quietly. I am seeing 6-1 about Scotty Scheffler for the US Open.
Hmm. Yeah, slightly longer on the exchange as well.
It does show you, doesn't it? He didn't get very close to his three-peat, did he?
No.
In fact, he got nowhere near it.
No, he was a way off. It's kind of the tail of his season. It hasn't been the normal mercurial Scotty Scheffler. Despite topping so many of the PGA Tour stats categories, he's just not putting it all together in terms of actual winning performances.
Wind in play. Elite top 10 official world golf ranking players in this field. Fitzpatrick, Matt. You have to say that these days, don't you?
Mm.
Fitzpatrick of the Matt variety. Tommy Fleetwood. Doesn't Tommy usually need about 17? He's Ricky Fowler, isn't he? He needs about 17 thirds and seconds before he finally gets over the line.
Mm.
I would assume he's going to be very popular next week at the US Open. Bear in mind he finished second there last time, even though that was because he shot 63 on Sunday and wasn't really a factor. Colin Morikawa and Justin Rose. They are the top 10 players in this field. You've got to say, it's not a bad field, is it?
No, it's good.
I think a lot of these players are sponsored by the Royal Bank of Canada, so they don't have a lot of wriggle room. But even so, I've just taken Rose. I've taken the Wentworth resident. Going way back in the past, first time we ever played a Canadian Open in 2004. I mean, back then I was a whippersnapper in 2004. I don't actually think, Paul, that me and you'd even got involved in golf betting at that stage. But anyway, he finished fourth in his first Canadian Open, 14th. But in recent times, so since it's been moved pre US Open, he's finished fourth at St George's. He was eighth at Oakdale Golf and Country Club, 23. I reckon it might have been 24. Anyway, I'll have to check that. That renewal is interesting. No, it was 23. That renewal is interesting. That's the renewal of Nick Taylor one, I believe. He went out in the second from last group. He was T2 after 54 holes. I just think that it's interesting with Rose. The year he actually won the US Open, his one major in 2013, he finished eighth the start before. He was fourth going into Sunday. I just think with Justin, just to build his confidence, I think he could do with a real contending performance. And I think a lot of it has to do with these McLaren irons. But I tell you what, I did notice last week at Memorial, he played very, very well from tee to green. He was third for off the tee. He was 11th for approach. That's the second strong week on the bounce he's had with excellent approach play with these new McLaren irons. He was second for tee to green. And if you looked at Justin Rose's winning CV, 13-2 of victories, and you saw a Canadian Open on there, you'd go, yeah. National Open, decent victory. That goes alongside his United States, his Scottish, his Hong Kong and his Turkish National Open titles. So what I'm trying to work out here is who of the top boys are coming here to actually play golf and who are here just to, you know, a couple of sponsors just to keep people straight before they move on to Shinnecock next week. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised if Rose actually goes for it this week because I think for his own ego and confidence heading to Shinnecock, he'd like to think that he's actually been in contention over the weekend before. And if that's the case, who knows? He does win golf tournaments. So I've taken 2.5 points each way. 25-1 with Betfred in their 8th place market on Justin Rose. I don't think the wind and whatever they're going to throw him is going to hinder his chances in any way, shape or form?
No.
Probably enhance them. Mm. If this was going to be 23 under par birdie fest, I'm not sure that's Justin Rose territory, but a 15 under par Canadian Open in a lot of wind? Yeah, I can get my head around that. So I took Rose 25-1. Barry, what about you? Have you got any confirmed runners and riders for the Canadian Open?
Confirmed one, yeah. Keith Mitchell qualified for the US Open yesterday, shot 63 in round two, long off the tee, decent in the wind.
Yeah.
Can think he can keep the fire burning.
Mm. Yeah, might have to see what tee time he gets as well. He could come out of the blocks rather quick on Thursday.
Have you got any other interesting names who qualified yesterday?
There's so many.
It was huge, wasn't it?
There's like 40-something, and I swear we'd actually like get unsubscribed on YouTube, Steve, if I started reading them all out. I might mention one or two as we go along, but...
Yeah. We'll have our research pod later this week. In the meantime, I'll update all of the US Open stats on the website, which have the pre-qualifier entries. So you'll be able to see the up-to-date list of players, certainly by Wednesday on the website.
We can do that. Hmm. We can do that. Right. Next up for me, I knew this guy was going to be popular. I actually wrote this tip on Sunday. Michael Brennan. 1.5 points each way. I was expecting a bigger than 50-1 price point when I wrote this tip, and I was shocked with horror that he was so short with the layers when the first prices came out. But I managed to get 45-1 with BetMGM, six places each way on Michael Brennan. Now, Brennan, if it was a driving competition, pro men's golf and the PGA Tour, he would be winning a lot of tournaments. He's second for total driving. He's in the top 10 for driving distance, all drives on the PGA Tour in 2026. He's second for strokes gained off the tee. The trouble with Michael is that the rest of his game hasn't been very good this season. You know, like hitting irons and chipping around greens and making a couple of putts. But he's a great driver. Now, you might remember Brennan. They have that Bank of Utah Championship at the Black Desert Resort in the fall, in the autumn. And he came from nowhere, literally nowhere, and he won it last year to get his two-year card. And what that meant was, effectively, he jumped from playing PGA America's golf, PGA Tour America's golf. He basically jumped the Corn Ferry Tour. And I remember people go, who's this kid? This kid's incredible. But all of his 24 and 25 results, and I'm not suggesting that you back this player because he's good in Canada, but it does paint a picture, and I've listed. When clearly, the PGA Tour of Americas does play a lot of Canadian golf in late summer into early autumn. And his results up in Canada are exceptional. And he played here in September 2024 at the Fortinet Cup Championship, and he finished in third place on this golf course. So I just have to take him. Brennan, he was in the top 10 last time we saw him at Colonial. Now, I don't think Colonial, which is quite tight, quite claustrophobic, is a Michael Brennan positive golf course. But this certainly is wide. He was 25th for approach, 20th for tee to green, and of course he was second for strokes gained off the tee last time out at Colonial. But also 7th for strokes gained putting and 2nd for putts per GIR. Now, I reckon Brennan's going to be one of these guys, as you know, we were talking about JT Poston earlier. Three of his four wins have been on bent grass. It just seems to me that when the agronomy changes and all of a sudden they're playing on bent grass based greens, bearing in mind that they barely play on them until we get to this stage of the PGA Tour, lo and behold, Brennan gets to a Colonial, bent grass greens, he's in the top 10. So I think this is a good venue for him, for someone that's long. I mean, he's in the top 50 for driving accuracy as well as being ridiculously long. So you're just hoping that Brennan brings the rest of the game that he had at Colonial to this week, and I could see him having a fantastic week. So Michael Brennan, 1.5 points each way, 45-1 with BetMGM, six places each way on Brennan. I've got to say, Paul, BetMGM, it's great to have a bookmaker where you can, and regularly you do get offered 15, 20 points more for six places as opposed to 8 or 10 with other bookmakers, and you just say, I'm going to go with the price this week.
Yeah. Yeah. They.
It's nice to have that option, isn't it?
In a world where the battle has very much been on who's offering the most each way places, it's an alternative view. So if you are price or more price sensitive, or you see the outlying number, and they often are outlying, as you said, you know, you can be talking 45 against 33 or shorter for the other bookies are offering 7, 8, 10 or whatever places. And you pick the combination that you feel most comfortable with, but there's certainly some value there if you can pick the right player, I think.
Brennan right now is 28-1 with Ladbrokes. But of course, they're offering 10 places. So this is the whole point. It's nice to have someone like a BetGM who you can sign up to via Golf Betting System. the website, you can get their new customer offer. It's nice to have that alternative view in terms of price, where you can go, I'm gonna forego the extra places and go for the better odds. So that's what I did, 45-1 BetMGM. Michael Brennan, right, I am now out to 55-1. So I'll go next. Johnny Kiefer. Have you tipped him up this year, Paul? Johnny Kiefer. I'm sure you have somewhere.
I may have backed him early doors on one, yeah, but not to any joy, not to any success, because that would have stuck in my mind a little bit better, I think.
My last three are all a point each way. I've gone 55-1 again. This one with Betfred 8 places each way. Yeah, 8 places market. Don't forget, you can also get up to 10 places with Betfred if you choose to do that. Kiefer, an absolutely exceptional prospect last year off the Corn Ferry, where he had 2 wins. Again, I'm just going for heavy drivers of the golf ball. I really am. Kiefer, 12th for strokes gained off the tee, 9th for driving distance all drive, but also excels with the irons, ranking 3rd for greens in regulation. I don't think that's going to be a bad number this week with a lot of wind around. If you can just hit tons of greens, I think that's going to be one way to separate yourself potentially. He's also 4th for proximity to hole. Again, he played in 24 a lot of his golf on the PGA Tour Americas. He then did a full 25 on the Corn Ferry, a couple of wins there. But, you know, I'm just reading here. 5th, 2nd, 6th, 2nd, 2nd, 1st, and then 3rd here at TPC Toronto, the North Course, for that Fortinet Cup Championship. He's just, I don't know, he's just under the radar slightly. He came 9th a few outings ago at the Byron Nelson. He shot a closing 8-under 63. That was his lowest PGA Tour round to date. The one I do remember is, again, another golf course a few months ago where it's really long off the tee that you need to be wide. It's where Minwoo Lee won last year. It was Memorial Park at Houston. Kiefer was 3rd this season. So, yeah, I just think he's going to feel particularly comfortable. He's getting comfortable now on the PGA Tour, so he's going to have that level of comfort on the course and also the fact that he's now settled in. I've got Johnny Kiefer at 55-1 with Betfred 8 places each way on Kiefer. I get confused when you say Kiefer because that reminds me of old Max Kiefer, who used to play on the DP World Tour. Mm. You used to put him up regularly, didn't you? A bit of Max Kiefer.
Yeah, yeah. He'll have been one of my value losers at some point in the past.
Maximilian Kiefer.
Yeah,
my last two are 66s. So where are you, Paul? Where are you chiming in?
Yeah, I've got one slightly shorter and then my other two are longer than those two. So the other one I've backed, and to your point about BetMGM, Christopher Raitan opened at 40-1 with BetMGM. Mm. Which was by far an outlying price. The best you get on him right now, and he has been backed generally overnight, is 28-1. So that was a proper standout price. But for me, Raitan's one of those players who can churn out a lot of top finishes when he finds his best form. We certainly saw that on the DP World Tour when he was performing so well last year to gain himself a PGA Tour card. And then we've seen him break through on the PGA Tour. He won the Truist a month or so ago. Don't forget, Ryan Fox had won just a few starts before winning here last year as well. So there is a kind of a blueprint for that process. 6th at Memorial last week, 3rd for strokes gained approach, 4th for strokes gained tee to green. So for a guy who hits it far enough, he's top 30 on tour for driving distance, and I think he's actually he should be better than that as well, putting well as well. I think, yeah, no bargain on the price now, but I think Rayton's got a chance of placing or potentially going and making it a quick fire PGA Tour double, which would certainly, well, it'd tell you what kind of player we're dealing with here should he do that. But yeah.
Does make a lot of sense, doesn't it? The last two of these have been won by DP World Tour graduates in the form of McIntyre and Fox.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's, as I say, there's kind of this pathway there. And, you know, a Canadian event in terms of its geography won't feel massively dissimilar to, and certainly that's what Bob Mack said when he won. It was, you know, it felt a lot of correlation with, you know, the events that he'd played in his formative years. So for someone like Rayton, I don't think it will feel out of place.
It's the second most northerly stop-off point on the PGA Tour.
Mm.
So it does link, doesn't it, to northern European agronomy, the grasses and the field, temperatures, everything.
Yeah, I mean, the DP World Tour boys would be super comfortable on bent power greens because there's so many of them over on the circuit, on the European circuit.
Now, the most northerly stop-off... I know I'm anally retentive, is the 3M Open, which they play in Minnesota. And I've gone for a player here that's finished second there in the past. He's actually finished second on five occasions across 2024 and 2025. Now, I'm a second place specialist, so this guy is right in my wheelhouse. And before last week, there was a lot of, you know, this guy's trending, he's coming to form. There were a lot of people very, very keen on him pre-colonial. And he missed the cut, and he missed the cut really badly. But he actually looked, I think he played five straight. He'd probably knackered, let's be frank. I've gone for Max Grazeman. Point each way, 66-1 with Betfred, eight places each way on Grazeman. On courses where you don't have to be accurate and you've got width off the tee, I don't think Grazeman's that bad a shout. He is inaccurate, but he's long. But yes, he's finished runner-up both in Michigan at the Rocket Classic, where they play that on the Ross Design Detroit Golf Club. And he did finish second at the 3M Open that they play at TPC Twin Cities in Minnesota. So clearly he gets on with northerly PGA Tour golf courses and the agronomy. You might remember he was third at the PGA Championship after 36 holes at Aronimink. Now, what was Aronimink? It was really wide off the tee. His 14th place finish was his best major to date. And then the week after that, and this is why he got so much steam at Colonial, he finished ninth at the CJ Cup Byron Nelson at TPC Craig Ranch. He shot a 9-under-62 on Friday. That week he ranked first for approach, second for greens in regulation, and first for tee to green. Blew everyone out, missed the cut horribly at Colonial, but I am jumping on the Max Grazeman train. So a point each way at 66-1 with Betfred, eight places each way on Grazeman. And then another 66-1 shot. I actually got this 10 places each way with Boyle Sports. So thank you to Boyle Sports for those 10 places. Whenever you talk about a golf course that's long, strong drivers, let's hope that someone has a decent week with a putter. I just always, 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 always think of Aldridge Potgieter. So I've just thrown Aldridge in there. I've got no idea why he disappeared after the PGA Championship, because he hasn't played. But anyway, I'm just backing him. And I remember last year getting caught that we missed Potgieter, the one victory he had. And where was that victory? That victory was at Detroit Golf Club, a northerly golf course in Michigan. So think about that in terms of agronomy, and it's absolutely mirror image to this. We missed him because I think he'd finished sixth at Colonial and then he had like a 4 or 5 week gap, turned up at Detroit and won the tournament And we were all sitting there going, I can't. Well, the only reason I didn't pick him was because he's gone missing for a few weeks. We thought we were in. He was injured, or he was this, he was that. So I'm not making the same mistake twice. I'm on Aldridge Potgieter, 66-1, Ball Sports, 10 places each way, on the big hitting South Africa. Don't forget, it's President's Cup year, and already this season he's finished 5th at Riviera, 21st at Memorial Park at Houston, 14th at Doral, and he was 35th last time out at the PGA Championship, his best major finish. I think he was near the top of the leaderboard after 36 holes and then kind of disintegrated a little bit. But he is playing very nice golf from tee to green. Across my 8-week strokes gained rankings, he's in the top 20 for tee to green and putting, plus he's in the top 15 for off the tee and for strokes gained total. So for me, Potgieter, Grazerman, Johnny Kiefer, not Max Kiefer, Michael Brennan, and Justin Rose. Right, Paul, let's finish with you, and then we'll see if Barry's worked out any more selections for himself.
I'm also with you on Potgieter, just to jump in there.
You're going Potgieter?
I didn't even cheat, on my homework. I arrived independently before my picks before I checked who you tipped up. I'm kind of proud of myself for that because I could have been lazy. But no, it just makes sense. Like long, he's going to be on in with clubs, 2 or 3 clubs shorter than a lot of the field. So it's a huge advantage.
He is currently 14th in the President's Cup international team standings. So he could do with a result or a few before the end of the cutoff period, which I believe will be mid-August, something like that. Not that far ahead, is it?
No, it's not. Yeah, and some of them won't play the events towards the latter end either. So you need to make hay while you can for players like him.
Mm. So Barry and I are on Potgieter. What could possibly go wrong?
Paul joining us, that's what could go wrong.
I'll leave him out, boys. So that means he may just sneak into the right side of the each way places rather than the wrong side. I've got two slightly longer ones. I've backed Stephen Fisk at 80-1 with Ladbrokes for 10 places, that was, which was a standout price combination there. First time I've backed the American, actually, so we'll see how that one goes. He won the Sanderson Farms last year, so previous PGA Tour winner. Hits it far enough, I think. 8th for driving distance over his last two starts, and some progressive form over those two starts as well, which is what caught my eye. 19th at the Byron Nelson and 10th at Colonial. 43rd last year, but closed with a 65. Also closed with a 65 at Colonial on his last start. So has some momentum from both of those aspects coming into this week. So we'll see how that goes with Fisk. The other one I'm quite excited about is Jesper Svensson at 150-1 with Betfred with 8 places. He caught my eye at the Byron Nelson, made a good note about him there. Open with a 63, pair of 65s over the weekend, finished tied 9th in the end. And he's fighting to keep his PGA Tour card for another year. So he will need to get, again, same kind of scenario. He needs to get results in the events that he's playing in to give him a chance of keeping the right side of the line. So this has got to be a target week for him. One of these players that doesn't have any stats on the PGA Tour, so he doesn't appear in any of the tables, which is a bit frustrating because he would appear certainly on the driving distance stat. Hits at a mile, and I'd say he's probably going to be, he should be sitting top 10 in the driving distance stat, but absolutely nothing on the PGA Tour, so you're just guessing in that respect. But I'd say top 10 in terms of DD, that fits nicely for this week. I think 18th here last year, he was strokes gained positive in every category. I think with a little bit of momentum from his Byron Nelson outing, he could improve on that this week. 8 places, as I say, I've taken. So let's hope he doesn't finish T9 again, Jesper, please. But yeah, Jesper, Svensson, Fisk, Reitan, And, of course, Wyndham Clark at the top for me this week. And that's my lot.
I hate the way they have this minimum start requirement for the PGA Tour stats. It does your head in. I mean, Rory McIlroy hasn't been appearing in the season-long stats.
No, he's popped back in now. But Svensson, he has played a few times, so I'm surprised that there aren't enough rounds for him to appear on anything. But yeah,
10 starts. Trouble is, and this is, we're going off into the weeds here, but, you know, he's played the Zurich Classic in New Orleans, so that won't have counted. He had to wait a couple of weeks to play Myrtle Beach. He's then played the Byron Nelson, and, you know, they just don't get to play.
Mm.
So, yeah, you get them dropping out of the season-long stats.
Yeah. But no, certainly long enough. If you can read between the lines, I'd say, as I say, I'd say he's top 10 DD. So
in the he's a banger, yeah. This week. Interesting, wasn't it? That 63 on his last outing, yeah. Byron Nelson in round one.
Yeah, again, another one that I'm going to keep my eye on the tee times for Thursday. Him and Killer Keith, Cashmere Keith.
Is he going to be a smooth operator this week, chaps?
They can both get off to quick starts, so let's see how the draw fares for them.
Is that us?
Steve, just a thought. Tony Finau started to show little bits of life in his game. Mm. We're going back up to courses analogous to some of his previous successes. Mm. He has me slightly interested. Sorry, my stomach's grumbling here. It's been a while. It's like 3 years since he last won. Is he figuring it all out, or is he just going to keep being a
This is what we said the other week, wasn't it? Did I put him up for Colonial? I said to him, he's now starting to miss majors, so he's actually starting to practice.
Mm.
And the game's coming. Yeah. It's coming around, isn't it?
Yeah, there's something there, which is good to see. A serious player when he was on.
Here's the question, and this is the question that the listeners want to have answered by you, Barry. If you were to back Tony Finau this week, would you back him 6 places each way at 70-1 with BetMGM?
Like 16 places each way.
I think the days of Tony T2 Finau are behind us, aren't they? I mean, he gravitated from T9 Finau to T5 Finau to T2 Finau. But yeah, there's definitely something happening there, isn't there, with Tony?
Mm. Yeah, he's improving. Yeah,
he is improving. I'm just trying to bring up his strokes game numbers from last week. They were pretty decent. These are full field numbers, by the way. Oh, well, I suppose there was a cut. He made the cut. He
gains nearly a stroke off the tee.
Yeah.
Little loss on approach, little positive around the green, and just lost a little bit the putter. So it's like there's no glaring weaknesses there, so that's good for the all-round game.
Mm.
There's one other one I'm trying to pluck out, just on the basis that there's been a few that were way off. Our picks for a couple of weeks.
Go for a shorty.
So, no, I'm going for a long one. And he's coming off some hot form of 2 missed cuts and a week off last week.
Okay.
Best result in Canada's 51st where he's played it once. But I kind of picked that Northern European angle, and he's got plenty of poke off the tee. Had a good, some nice results in the PGA Tour this year. It's one of your favourite to pronounce as well, Steve. ADDC. Exactly. Uh-huh. So I need to just find a price for him with like a bunch of places, but just a wild. I need a wild kind of lucky dip punt, and he seemed to kind of slot in there nicely.
Mm.
Well, he was visible in one of my 8-week statistics, and I mean severely visible.
He was.
Is it approach? Yeah,
that's what alerted me to him. He's 11th in putting and second around the green, strokes gained around the green.
I know he appeared on some of them.
He's not completely lifeless.
No. I could see that, the agronomy and whatever. This location suiting him. What price are you getting on ADDC?
I don't know. It's a very tenuous link, but I mean, I've come up with worse reasons to back golfers before. He is 155 places with 365. Okay. He's 156 places with a couple of the non-marquee bookies, let's say. There's my price, 293. What was it? I'm just looking at Oddstrike here. So I think I can get him for 300 on at the exchange. So lock it in.
Win only, Barry.
That's the only, that's it, like, to hell the place is just boom or bust.
Lock and load.
Let the boom.
I'm just trying to dig out Finau's stats from last week to finish that story off. He was 38th off the tee. Oh, no. I've picked out the wrong week. Bear with me. I know this is great podcasting.
He was second off the tee.
Yes. I'm looking at the wrong sheet. He was, second for off the tee. Tee to green number was exceptional. He was in the top 25. So that's two out of the last 3 weeks where he's been top 25 tee to green. So something's warming, and he wasn't quite as negative on the putter that he usually is. I don't know if I'm selling it. But yes, I think something is stirring with Tony.
Slightly less bad than normal.
Yeah, we're not supposed to sell my bets. They're not tips, they're just bets. So
29th last week at Memorial. Well, I hope your bets go well, chaps.
Yeah, best of luck, boys.
You too, boys.
Watch out later this week for our US Open research podcast, which we will be recording. I was telling the boys off mic, I listened to a Alex Fitzpatrick interview this week where he mentioned that him and his brother had been to Shinnecock and that the course was, quote, unplayable, and also it was so windy that they were trying to find a flat part of the green on number 11, the par 3, where the ball wouldn't get blown off the putting surface. And they couldn't find one. So, Shinnecock looks like it's going to be the beast that we wanted.
Yeah, and no bet week because there's only pain in the future of all your bets. It's going to be great.
I will be starting to monitor the rainfall around the New York. Is it Rhode Island? I think so. That part of the Hamptons over there to see if the course is going to get any natural precipitation. But he also mentioned, or it was mentioned, I think, by Rory, that the course is going to play wider off the tee than last time we saw it. Wider fairways, but off the fairways, the semi rough was being quoted at between 4 and 5 inches. That's before you get into the knee high fescue and waist high fescue.
Yeah.
So I think Shinnecock's going to be an absolute cracker. So we'll talk more about the US Open later this week. Best of luck to listeners. Don't forget, if you are on YouTube, try and get us through this 5,200 barrier. We need 6 of you to subscribe this week. See you again for the US Open Research Podcast. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved. All the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system.